demanded. She was a woman who never failed to make Rosie think of a velociraptor, stalking the playgrounds, hunting in the hallways, and watching, always watching. That woman could drape herself in as much Kath Kidson as she liked. She was fooling no one. Rosie now had only 10 minutes to get back to the school so she could listen to just how gifted Rufus was. She was going to have to keep herself in check, be professional, and a little bit less of a grouch. She knew that her mood today had been tetchy. She had even scowled at 4-year-old Billy during maths when she had to firmly remind him twice that in school one kept one's trousers on. Heading towards the kitchen door, book in hand, Rosie spied a small metal tin on the worktop. Her smile returned. That was just what she needed. A nutty millionaire's slice. She flipped the lid and snatched a piece, ramming it into her mouth before it crumbled into nothingness and the caramel wrapped around her fingers. Perhaps one bit more, maybe two. Now she really did have to move. She raced to her car, hopped in, and started to reverse down the drive. Screech! She was forced to jam the brakes on, a peanut falling from her mouth onto her dress as she jolted forward. Where on earth had that come from? Blocking her drive was a removal lorry, big enough to house a circus and not showing any signs of moving. That had definitely not been here when she had arrived. With only a few minutes left before she was due to sit in a teeny tiny chair with a woman reputed to down entire careers with one glance, rumour had it she could take out small island nations in less than 3 minutes, she was going to need to move fast. She blared her horn as hard as she could. No movement. She needed to get out of the car and track the removal men down. Up until now, she had been curious as to who her new neighbours were going to be, but now, at this moment, she wasn't fussed about finding out. She just wanted them to move their truck so she could get back to school. The last thing she needed was Mrs. Pain-in-the-Ass Marksharp kicking off about her reliability. Oh, for goodness sake! Where was that lorry driver? Beep! Beep! With the truck clearly empty and no patter of removal men's feet, she jumped back out of the car, dark hair flipping up and down against her shoulders, and stalked down the drive towards the cottage attached to hers. What were they playing at? Honestly, upsetting your new neighbour before you had even unpacked was a stupid thing to do. As is shouting at your neighbour on their moving day, her sensible voice pointed out from the back of her mind. No one is doing this on purpose. It's just life. Be nice. Get the lorry out of the way and then be on yours. Do not cause a scene with people you have to live alongside for years. Imagine if someone drove past and witnessed her screeching like a banshee. The embarrassment may kill her. The village would be agog to hear that Rosie Winter had lost the plot. Rosie paused on her driveway to take a deep breath. As she stood there, she noticed a silhouette just by her wall. She raced towards the road and spotted someone in front of her tree, holding on to something presumably from the lorry. It was hard to distinguish what it was in this light, and she squinted to see if that helped. It didn't. More importantly, the minutes were whizzing by. A groan escaped her lips as she pictured Mrs. Marksharp arching an eyebrow and checking her watch. She scrunched her nose and practiced her best caring new neighbour face, but it seemed that today not even her face was prepared to be obedient. She could feel her eyes thinning and her mouth dropping as her features seemed determined to rest in their most resolute do-as-you're-told teacher face. Realising that wrestling with her face was not getting her back to school any quicker, Rosie approached the removal man standing by her wall, who was as oblivious to her presence as he had been her car, chattering away on his phone. Uh-huh, so that's why he hadn't responded to her beeping. Thankfully, sensible voice was dominant in her head, calmly but forcefully repeating, "More flies with honey than vinegar," although cross voice had also popped up, whispering about people on phones and social deterioration in pure 1950s BBC tones. As she got closer, she realised that the previously unidentifiable shape she had spied by her tree was some kind of rolled-up rug, balanced on the upper part of his body. She came closer still and, as he remained absorbed, stood on tiptoes to tap the man on the back of his rug-free shoulder. There was no response as he nodded and made noises into his handset. Was her tap too light? She could feel her teeth clench. Maybe she needed to punch him? She could almost hear Marion Marksharp's fingers tapping at breakneck speed on a desk. She should definitely punch him. She most definitely should not. Although, as she uncurled her fist, a glimmer of a smile crossed her face.